Well, last week we were in the opening verses of Acts chapter 20, and we saw, observed the death of Eutychus as he fell out of the window, upstairs window, from a stuffy room when Paul preached a long sermon. And I'm very well aware that it's probably the coldest it's been in this hall this morning, and I don't want you to die from cold as I preach a long sermon. So I will abbreviate the sermon this morning so that we don't suffer too much on this cold morning. It's a sermon really that deals with leadership. This passage that we had read to us this morning by John from Acts chapter 20 is an exhortation by Paul to the elders in Ephesus concerning the leadership of the church there and the example that he had given to them that they should follow. And it's a wonderful indication in the New Testament, the only one that we have, in fact, that there's a place for the leaders of the church to draw aside for teaching, for exhortation, for encouragement in the work. It's such an important thing for elders of churches to be able to gather together with others and to be taught by mature men in the faith, men of wisdom and experience. And so the church through the centuries has had opportunities for conferences and meetings for the leaders of the church. That's an important thing. And we see this happening here in Acts chapter 20. Paul's in Miletus. He's taking the fast boat from Macedonia to back to Jerusalem. He's heading there and he wants to be there for Pentecost, we've been told. He doesn't want to spend too much time in Asia, so he hasn't taken a boat that takes him directly to the nearest port, to Ephesus. Instead, he uses this opportunity when the boat is laid over in Miletus to call for the Ephesian elders to come to him. They're about 50 kilometers away. And so he sends word to them to meet him in Miletus, and there they come down from Ephesus, and he spends some time with them there in Miletus, teaching them. And Paul speaks to them concerning leadership in the church. And there's three things. We could spend a whole series of sermons on this passage. In fact, there's so much packed into it. But there's three things that I want to draw out of this this morning. And they're all found in a nutshell in verse 28 of Acts chapter 20, where Paul says to them, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." The first thing I want to draw to your attention from that verse is that leadership in the church is a gifting and a responsibility that is given by the Holy Spirit. He says, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." While the elders in the church are appointed by the consent of the members of a church, it is on the understanding that the Holy Spirit has given them the required gifts and abilities to undertake the task of leadership in the church. They're gifts which are given by the Holy Spirit. They're responsibilities that they take on under the direction of the Holy Spirit. It is, first and foremost, Jesus Christ by the Spirit who calls men to the ministry, whether that's full-time ministry or whether that's the ministry of the oversight of the church by voluntary leadership as elders. Paul makes it quite clear here and elsewhere that this is a great responsibility that these men take on. It is something by which God will judge them on the last day. on that great day of judgment. They will be called to give an account for the way that they have led the church. They are responsible to God. In a sense, they're responsible to the congregation as well, in the sense that they must lead it well according to God's word. But ultimately, they're answerable to God. It is God who calls them to this task. It is God who equips them for this task. And it is God who requires an answer of them concerning the way they have fulfilled their responsibilities in this task. They are not elected by the church to do the church's bidding. They are called by God to do his bidding. Yes, it's the church membership who recognise their gifts and recognise that God has called these men to this position. But we must remember that they're not there simply to do whatever the church wants them to do. They're there to do what God wants them to do. The second thing that this verse speaks of concerning leadership in the church is that it's about shepherding a flock. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. The word shepherd is the word that elsewhere is translated as pastor. It's exactly the same word in the Greek. And the picture we have here, of course, is of a flock that is being shepherded, is being led, is being guided, is being protected. And this is the main responsibility of the elders of the church, is to watch out, watch over the flock, the people, the members of the church. Leadership is about shepherding a flock. And there's a whole host of things that involves. It involves oversight. It involves guiding. It involves making decisions for the well-being of the church. It's not lording it over the church as some kind of dictator. That's what Paul argues very strongly against in his first epistle, arguing that it's wrong for elders to lord it over the church, but they are overseers of the church. They're supposed to be using their gifts and their responsibility and their position for the good of the church. Paul says, "You know my manner of life, how I lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you." This is the key to wise and just oversight of the church, that everything is done for the good of the church. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that what is done and the way things are done will necessarily make the congregation happy. That's not what it's about. It's about making Christ happy concerning his church. It's about ensuring that Christ is pleased with the progress of the congregation. Not that the congregation is necessarily comfortable or happy or feeling good about themselves. On occasion, there is need for discipline. On occasion, there is need for firm handling. But it's all for the good of the church. Paul withheld nothing that was helpful to the church. And that must be the motivating factor behind the leadership of the church. It is oversight, but it is not lordship. It involves protection, protecting the church from wolves, from things from outside, but also from dangers that may arise from within. Paul says, "You know this, I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Evil influences will come in, People will come in from outside seeking to disrupt the harmony within the church there in Ephesus. Paul's aware of that fact and he calls on these elders to be watchful. Watch out for these enemies of the church who will try and come in and disperse the flock. But Paul also warns about dangers from within. He says, also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. He writes to Timothy. You'll remember his first letter to Timothy concerned the appointment of elders in this church in Ephesus. He called on Timothy to preach the word faithfully. He warned Timothy that there will be that the people will try to gather around themselves people who will speak to them things that they like to hear. And Paul warned and encouraged Timothy to preach the word faithfully, to guard against those who will rise up from within the church, seeking to become popular and to draw people after themselves, not having a concern for the glory of Jesus Christ. So oversight, leadership of the church involves protection of the church from enemies without and from dangers within. It involves a focus on the word of God. Paul tells the elders there that he preached the whole counsel of God. He preached the word, the grace, the gospel of the grace of God. The focus was on the word of God because that was God's revelation, which taught the people how they should behave, which described their relationship to God, which encouraged them to live holy lives before God. The word of God is God's guide for our lives. And Paul focused his ministry around the word of God. And that's what leaders today must do. The things that they say, the things that they teach, the way they govern the church of Jesus Christ must be focused upon, based upon, built upon the word of God. This is the foundation for our lives. We have no other authority. And this becomes then the test of our faithfulness to our calling. Are we basing our ministry upon the word of God? And this then will involve self-sacrifice throughout this portion and throughout all that we know about the Apostle Paul. We realize that he made many sacrifices of comfort, of prestige, of security and so on in order to benefit to the church, in order to be able to minister most effectively to the church. And this is one of the important aspects of the ministry of leadership in the church, is that leaders must be men who are willing to sacrifice their own comforts, their own preferences for the good of the church. The shepherd with his sheep spared nothing in order to protect them. Remember the shepherds on that night that Jesus Christ was born. Where were they? They were out in the fields at night, watching over the sheep, taking care of the sheep. Not in the comfort of a home, of a house, but there out under the stars. And so it is with the ministers of the church, with the leaders of the church. They sacrifice themselves. They endure discomforts for the well-being of the church. And the third thing I want to point out from this verse is that leadership in the church is all about serving Jesus Christ. These leaders are told to take heed to themselves and to all the flock among whom the Holy Spirit has made them overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his blood. That was the great motive for them. They were serving the church of God, shepherding the church of God, which he had purchased with his blood. Paul earlier talked about ministering the concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, testifying to the gospel of the grace of God. Earlier on, he had said that he was serving the Lord Jesus Christ. This was his great focus. Serving the church, yes, but serving the church with a view to serving Jesus Christ. He's serving the church that was bought with the blood of Christ at such great cost. He preaches the gospel of the grace of God. That's the essence of his message. Not just there, he's not simply speaking about the gospel of salvation, an evangelistic message, but he's talking about the whole gospel of the grace of God, which deals with our sanctification as well as our justification. The whole of the Christian life is concerned with honouring Jesus Christ, acknowledging his lordship. Paul took Christ as his example. He wrote in one of his letters that he wanted the church to follow him, imitate him as he followed Christ, as he imitated Christ. And we have hints of that here as well. He talks about serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to him. He was following the example of Jesus Christ, who humbled himself and became a man and dwelt among us, who endured all kinds of afflictions for our sake. Paul himself, following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, endures all things for the sake of his Saviour. So those three things. Leadership in the church is a gifting and responsibility that comes from the Holy Spirit. Leadership is about shepherding a flock. Leadership is about serving Jesus Christ, the head of the church. So in conclusion, let me apply this for you as those who are not called at this stage to lead in an eldership role, but nevertheless have responsibilities in regard to these three areas of leadership that we've looked at this morning. Firstly, there's a responsibility on the church to choose very carefully the leaders that they recognise within the church. The responsibility is to discover the mind of Christ. If Paul's correct, and I'm sure that he is, that these elders in Ephesus were appointed, set there by the Holy Spirit, then the church, which acknowledges their responsibility and their role as leaders in the church, has to discern the mind of Christ concerning who he has gifted and who he has appointed to leadership in the church. Great care must be taken to ensure that the men who are appointed as elders in the church fulfill the responsibilities that they are given and meet the qualifications that the scriptures describe. That they're men who are willing to sacrifice themselves on behalf of the church. They're men who are focused on the word of God, on proclaiming it truthfully, faithfully, in season and out of season. That they are men whose great motive is to glorify Jesus Christ and not to seek their own prestige or their own comfort. Great care must be taken in choosing those who will lead the church. Secondly, since leadership is about shepherding a flock, then the congregation must be committed to following their leaders faithfully. Following them as those who are answerable to God and who must give an account of the way that they've led. This is the way that the writer to the Hebrews puts it. He says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." So there's a responsibility on the congregation to follow the leaders faithfully, to listen to what they have to say, to grapple with the things that they're teaching, to come to an understanding of the Word of God, to apply those lessons to their lives, to become more holy, more like Jesus Christ, to observe the challenges that are presented to them, to walk in the ways of Jesus Christ that are described for them. This is a great responsibility. The leaders may lead, but there has to be followers. And the church will not progress, will not be successful in its mission to evangelize the world and disciple believers if it is unwilling to follow those who are set in leadership over them. And thirdly and finally, if leadership is about serving Christ, then the congregation must support her leaders prayerfully. Praying for them. Paul, in many of his letters, asks the people that he's writing to pray for him. Pray that he will be faithful to the word of God. Pray that the word that he preaches will be successful, will achieve its purpose. Praying for him that he will be bold in the face of opposition. Praying for him that he will not diminish the effectiveness of the message through his own unwillingness to obey Christ fully. Leaders come under the special attack of Satan. They are leading the church. They're directing the church. They're guiding the church. And Satan sets his mark on them, points his arrows at them, seeks to cause them to stumble, cause them to fall. Isn't this what Paul is saying when he says, from among yourselves, from among you elders, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. So the congregation needs to choose its leaders carefully. It needs to follow its leaders faithfully, and it needs to support its leaders prayerfully, so that the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in the church may be strengthened and may glorify the Saviour of the church. So those three things to consider from this passage. And our closing hymn takes up that theme. It's number 414. Lord of the Church, we humbly pray for those who guide us in your way and speak your holy word. With love divine their hearts inspire and touch their lips with holy fire and needful grace afford.